probably going to be working, I think. Let's put our Bible reading up today, Acts 1, 1-11. It's on the screen. Let's read this. So the same person who wrote Acts is the same person who wrote Luke's Gospel, all right? So do you know that? I'll refer to that. So this is Luke writing the book of Acts, Acts 1. In my former book, Philophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of the Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight, hid him from their sight. They were looking intently into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go." We'll probably read that again next week, but from a slightly different angle. But we talk about, don't we, events of the Christian calendar. We acknowledge Christmas when we think about the birth of Jesus. We acknowledge Easter when we think about the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus. And like, say, next Sunday, in many ways, if I was to go for top three, then it's Pentecost, the day when we think about the Holy Spirit, Jesus sending the Holy Spirit on his disciples to go out and witnessing on his name. But we also have a day called Ascension Day. You know, sometimes it's hard to say goodbye. I remember taking Adam to university. That first time, you know, when you leave them at university. Some of you will experience this. And that when you take your child to university, and it's the first time that they've gone on their own really big time. And I remember taking him into his room and we saw it for the first time. It was in his tower block. We looked at what was a great room because he could look out over the train tracks of Birmingham, which was fantastic for Adam. But I remember coming back from, we were all there, me and Adam and Alison and Emma was with us. But coming back, you know, that there was a bit of maybe shed a little tear. There's that sort of goodbye. That it was a new era of sending them off in many ways. Ascension Day is Jesus saying goodbye. Goodbye to his disciples, in many ways for the last time after his 3+ years of them all being together. Ascension Day comes 40 days after Easter Sunday. So Ascension Day was last Thursday. From the point of view of the Christian calendar, it comes 40 days after Easter Sunday. And I think this event was very important to Luke because he both finishes his gospel with it. Luke 24, verses 50-53 says this. This is Luke's gospel. "When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. So Luke finishes his gospel with the ascension of Jesus, Jesus being taken back to the Father. But then, as he writes the book of Acts, he also starts the book of Acts with it, what we've just read. Just a little bit of background to take us to that place again. See, when Jesus was alive, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. He said, one day I will pour out my Spirit, I will give you my power, I will give you the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus was with them, this is before the cross, Jesus made this promise that he would pour out the Holy Spirit to them. Then we have the cross. Jesus died on the cross. But then we have the resurrection. Easter Sunday, Jesus rose from the dead. He's alive again. And then we have these 40 days. 40 is a very special number in the Bible. 40 days. And in those 40 days, when Jesus has rose from the dead, there's many stories, many encounters. We talked about one the other week when Peter was by the campfire and Jesus did that whole, do you love me? And Peter replied, and then Jesus sent him out, go and feed my sheep. There's other ones, the disciples on the road to Emmaus, all those things. So in these 40 days after the resurrection, many stories, many things happened. But then we get to our Bible reading. Acts 1, verses, 6 to 11. Verse 6 says this. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? You kind of feel still the disciples have not fully got what's going on with Jesus. What he's doing and how he's going to do it. They feel that they've still not fully grasped it. Then he goes on, verses 7 to 8. He said to them, it's not for you to know the times and the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be a witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So again, we have Jesus promising this gift, the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, it's coming. It's on its way. The Holy Spirit, my power is going to be upon you. Verse 9. After Jesus had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Jesus is ascended. He is taken up physically to go to be back with the Father. Ascension Day. Verse 10, my favorite verse. That's what I'm talking about today. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going. So you can see these disciples, Jesus is ascending back to the Father, he's physically going back to the Father, and the disciples are just, and it says, looking intently into the sky. In another version it says, they strain to see him go. You can imagine, there he's going. And then, verse 11, men of Galilee, these two men turn up dressed in white. Men of Galilee said, why do you stand here looking for to the sky? The same Jesus that has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven. That's why we chose the song. You came from heaven to earth. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth, to the cross, from the cross. What's the song again? Heaven to earth to show the way from to the cross. My debt, there we are, to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. I suppose my first question, or maybe a first question could be, why didn't Jesus stay longer? Why didn't he stick around more? He had these 40 days after his resurrection. Why didn't he just continue to stay? Well, I think there's some important reasons that Jesus had to ascend back to the Father. The first possibly could be that his earthly mission was complete. His earthly mission in many ways, you could argue, was to atone for the sins of all mankind, which Jesus had done through the cross and through his resurrection. The second reason I think Jesus had to go back to the Father is because he went to be our high priest. Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus is now interceding for us before the Father. Amazing. I think another reason Jesus had to go is because, as I often read this in funerals, John 14, 1 to 6, talks about Jesus going to prepare a place for us. And if he says, I have to go to prepare a place for you, that you may one day be where I am. So Jesus had to go to prepare that eternal place for us. And then finally, I think Jesus had to ascend because for the Holy Spirit, the power and the presence of God to be released on all God's people. For the promise of the Old Testament and the New Testament to be fulfilled. The Holy Spirit to come and fill us of Christ's disciples to do the work of the kingdom in this world. So I think it was important that Jesus went back to the Father. He didn't just stick around. He went back to the Father to prepare a place for us. He went back to the Father to intercede for us. He went back to the Father because in many ways he'd done what he'd meant to do, but he went back to the Father so that the Holy Spirit might be released on all God's people and he would send them out into the world to build his kingdom. But the bit that got to me when I read this passage this week was these disciples looking up. And I just had this kind of picture of them, like, you know, Jesus is with them and he's somehow taken from them physically to be back up to heaven, and just these disciples looking at the sky, you know, there he is, you know, you just imagine how it kind of must have gone for them. But this whole idea about looking was the thing that sparked my message today. And I want to say a few things about looking, and I think it's four things. And I think maybe there's different things for different people, depending where you are today. I want to talk about looking. And it may be that one of them particular is for where you are at this moment. So the first one I want to talk about is looking for Jesus. I used to run a course. It's called the Just Looking Course. And the Just Looking Course was for seekers. It was for people who are checking out Christianity, trying to find out whether it's true, trying to find out this Jesus character that Christians say is the most amazing. Is he real? Is it true? And I used to run this course called the Just Looking Course. And I know that a lot of you here today are Christians, already found Jesus as your Lord and Saviour and your friend. But there may be people here today that will put themselves in that place of seeker, in the way that you're still trying to work out where faith is in your life. Is Jesus real? Do I know him personally in our lives? You're still in many ways looking for Jesus. Because there are so many people in this world who are seeking, I believe, purpose and identity and freedom and hope and forgiveness and meaning and truth and contentment and belonging. The Bible calls these people lost or unsaved. Many people out there who are lost and unsaved because they've not yet found Jesus. Jesus said, you see, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the Saviour of all mankind. We were out with a prayer flag the other week before last, and I got chatting to one guy, and I remember when I first went up to him and said, can I tell you what we're doing, and just said we're from the church and we're just collecting prayer requests, and his first words to me was, well, I'm not into the God stuff because I'm into science. Okay, let's go. And we had a really good conversation. You know, we were there for a good 10 minutes plus, going through all kinds of stuff, creation, and I said to him, you know, science, just because you believe in science, it doesn't mean that you can't be a Christian. And, you know, I talked about my friend who's an astrophysicist and all that kind of stuff, and we went into it. And we had a really good conversation. And in the end, what I left him with this, the Bible tells us that we need to seek. And if we seek, we will find. And I just said to him, I'm not so sure what you're looking for, but the Bible tells me if you seek Jesus, then you will find Jesus. Can I encourage you to seek after Jesus and see what you find? And if you don't find anything, hey-ho, you've not lost anything. But just maybe, you find something quite amazing. How do we find Jesus? Well, it's funny, the other week, I couldn't sleep at night. I was restless and I had to get up and stare. And I put the telly on. And it just so happened that there was a movie on the telly, and it made me smile because it was a clip, or the part of the movie where I turned on to made me smile, because I thought, oh, I've played this clip to young people many, many times when I was a youth worker about finding Jesus. It was a clip from the film Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Have you ever seen Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade? The Indiana Jones, Harrison Ford, is in the search for the Holy Grail. You know, the cup that Jesus drank out of at the Last Supper. So all this, obviously it's just blockbuster Hollywood. But there's a clip in the end, and he gets to near the end of the film when he's just about to find the Holy Grail. But he has to go through three tasks to get there, and he's carrying this little booklet that's trying to tell him, and his dad in the film, which is played by Sean Connery. See, a lot of you know Sean Connery. He's not very well, he's dying, and all this stuff. And Harrison Ford is just trying to get through these three last tasks to find the Holy Grail. And the first thing he reads in his booklet is, it says, "Only a penitent man will pass." He's reading it. Only a penitent man will pass. He's going through this cave. And then he realizes only a penitent man means he has to kneel. And he kneels like this, just as a big kind of sort of sword or big kind of a big cutter thing just skims just past the top of his head. And he survives that bit. But that's one of the first steps about finding Jesus. It's about repentance. It's about understanding that we are in need of God. That we are sinners. That we're in a mess. We need a Savior. Only a penitent man will come to Jesus. But then Harrison Ford just continues on his journey a little bit. And the second part is, he comes to it, says, the name of God. It's the name of God. And there's all these letters on the floor. And he's got to stand on them to spell the name of God. And he realizes the first letter, he realizes it's Jehovah. But then he realizes that's the name of God. And he's trying to work out Jehovah. And he goes for the J, which is dangerous because apparently in the Greek alphabet, Jehovah starts with another letter. And anyway, he stands on that and it's all, oh, he nearly dies, but he manages to get up again. And he manages to spell out Jehovah and go along the path. He gets through the second part. And it's the second part of looking for God. We have to believe in God. We have to believe in who he is, the name of God, put our trust in Jehovah. And then we get to the third bit. Some of you remember this clip. He gets to a place where he gets to a ravine, a big valley. And he sees a little cave on the other side and he's on this side. And he reads the booklet and it says, only a leap of faith. And he's like, what? I can't get over there. It's miles. I can't jump that far. Only a leap of faith. And his dad, Sean Connery, quick, Indy, quick. I'm going. So he has to go for it. He has to go for it. And he steps like this. So I show this clip so many times to young people as a youth worker. He steps like this and he thinks he's going to fall into the ravine. And he steps, but he steps onto this very, very thin bridge that's sort of camouflaged into the background. You can't see it until you step on it. And he walks across this thin bridge to get to where the Holy Grail is. Because that's part of how we follow, how we look for Jesus, isn't it? How we find Jesus is we have to sometimes take a leap of faith. We need to put our trust in Jesus. There is another bit, because when he gets to the Holy Grail, well, there's lots of cups. And then there's this bad easy, and he comes along. And he chooses the cup that's got all nice kind of jewels on it. And he says, well, that must be the cup of Jesus. And he picks it up and he drinks out of it, thinking it's going to give him eternal life. And he goes extremely old and blows up. And then Indiana Jones realises if it's the cup of Jesus, it'd be the cup of a carpenter. And he takes a wooden cup and he drinks out of it and he takes it back to his dad and he says, you know, all that sort of stuff. But the I remember it's when the guy takes the wrong cup and he kind of goes old and blows up. There's a knight there, a knight from the temple, Knight's Temple. This is not real, by the way. This is just a story in Hollywood. But when he blows up, I love the knight. He says, he chose poorly. Not kidding. But it has to be about a choice. It has to be a personal choice. Seek and you'll find. Penitent man will pass. The name of God. Believe in God. Trust your God. Step in Jesus. And for some of you, maybe that's the looking you need to hear today. When I'm talking about looking for Jesus, maybe for some of you, that's where you're at, and you need to say, how am I going to take that step of asking for God for forgiveness? Because I believe maybe in his name and put my trust in him. And I believe that if you do that, if you seek, you'll find. The second looking I want to focus on is looking up, or looking to Jesus. You know, this is really important for followers or apprentices of our rabbi. A little while ago, we did the Practicing the Way course. We talked about us being apprentices of our rabbi, Jesus. It's important that as followers of Jesus, apprentices of Jesus, that we look to Jesus, that we keep looking up to him. Because he's our example, and he's our teacher, and he's our guide and our help. He's our comforter and our defender, our inspiration, our shepherd, our king, our living hope, our direction, our instruction, our correction, our friend, and so much more. That's why we need to, Christians, keep looking to Jesus, keep looking up to him. In Hebrews 12, verse 2, we're encouraged to fix our eyes on Jesus, for he is the pioneer or the author and the perfecter of our faith. As Christians, we need to keep looking to Jesus 24/7 through all our lives. But I especially want to encourage you to look up, to look to Jesus when you're tempted to look down. I think about Peter in Matthew 14, when Jesus beckons him out onto the seas. When Jesus is walking on the water and Jesus invites Peter to walk on the water. Verse 29, come, Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. You have this idea that somehow he took his eyes off Jesus. And in that taking his eyes off Jesus, he started to sink. Maybe it was a bit scary, but you know what? When the world starts to look scary, don't take your eyes off Jesus. I love the song by Lauren Daigle. It says, look up, child. It encourages us to look up to Jesus. Some of the lyrics say this, where are you now when darkness seems to win? Where are you now when the world is crumbling? Look up, child. Look up, child. Where are you now when I feel in doubt? Where are you now when I can't figure it out? Look up. Look up, child. You're not threatened by the war. You're not shaken by the storm. I know you're in control, even in our suffering, even when we can't, when it can't be seen. I know that you're in control. Look up, child. Look up, child. I'm going to play it in a minute. Can I encourage you, if you're broken, if you're in need, if you're perhaps going through a difficult time at the moment, can I encourage you to look up? Look up to Jesus. The temptation is to look down. The temptation is to look at the wind and the waves, and it's scary and it's daunting and you feel like you're sinking. Can I encourage you to look up, to look to Jesus, to look up, child? Again, we'll sing a song in a moment, Turn Our Eyes Upon Jesus. And I love that song because it doesn't suggest in many ways that everything just goes away when we look at Jesus. We still have the issues to face. We still have to walk through the problems and the circumstances. But what we do is when we look to Jesus, when we turn our eyes upon Jesus, the perspective, if that's the right word, perspective, changes. We see it differently. We cope with it differently. We're able to walk through it differently. And can I encourage you to look to Jesus not just as a last resort, not just as a last option, which is sometimes what we do. I'll sort it out. I'll get there. I'll work it through. I'm going to sort it. And we can't. And Jesus just says, come on, look to me. Look up. Look to me. I want to help you. I want to reach down. Take your hand. You need to look to me. I've got one more point, but let's play that one down if we can. You're not looking for Jesus out in, I've never found him, and I just, maybe for some of you, you just need to hear the words again, look up, child. Maybe you've been looking down, maybe you've been looking towards other things for your answer. And actually, Jesus today just says, just look up, look to me. I'm here for you, I'm on your side. I've got more resources than you can ever believe. Look up, child. Look towards Jesus. So finally, really quickly, my final one is looking out. Looking out. You know, as great, again, as Christians, we need to, I think, look out on this world through the lens of our faith in Jesus. And this, at times, or very often, is a very different lens from the world lens. I think we need to use this lens of our faith in all aspects of our lives, as we look out on the world, as we look out into situations, we need to look at these things through the eyes of our faith, the attitudes that we hold, the responses that we make, how we see situations and people, how we watch the news, how we join in conversations, what we like and post on Facebook. I believe we have to be so careful and discerning about how we look out onto this world. We need to look at them, look at the world through the lens of our faith. And I think so often we get caught up in not doing that, and we get kind of dragged into the way that the world looks at things. And the Bible says, look out onto the world through your faith. Through who you are as God's people, through who the situations are in the world, as in part of the world that God made and created. I think it'll save us a lot of stress if we do that. I think we also need to look out onto the world to see where Jesus is at work. Where is he at work in our lives? Where is he at work in the world in which we live in today? We need to look for where Jesus is doing stuff. And he is. You know, William Blatter, the producer of the film The Exorcist, said it's easier to believe in the devil because he seems to do a lot more adverts. You can see that. We can see, but certainly the news tells us that, doesn't it? If you watch the news, it's not full of good news and here's what good's going on in the world. It's the bad stuff. It's the hate and the crime and the violence and the suffering. So maybe it is easier to believe in evil than there is a God who is good. But God is still at work. I don't know if you who recently, if any of you have come across this, there's a kind of a bit of a suggestion, shall we say, but a backed up suggestion, that in this country at the moment, there is what they're calling a quiet revival. I wonder if you've come across this. Let me just read to you this. Church decline in England and Wales has not only stopped, but the church is growing. As Gen Z leads an exciting turnaround in church attendance. Church attendance has risen by 50% over the last 6 years, bursting the myth that church is in decline. The findings come in the Quiet Revival Survey commissioned by the Bible Society and conducted by YouGov. The Quiet Revival shows that the most dramatic church growth is among young adults, particularly young men. In 2018, just 4% of 18 to 24-year-olds said that they attended church at least once a month. Today, says the Quiet Revival, this has risen to 16% within young men. 4% to 16%. Increasing from 4% to 21% among young women. Increasing from 4% to 21% and young women from 3% to 12%. So there's been a dramatic rise in young men attending church, but also in women as well. Co-author of the Quiet Revival says the report shows that what people believe about the church decline is no longer true. These are striking findings and completely reverse the widely held assumption that the church in England and Wales is in terminal decline. She said, while some traditional denominations continue to face challenges, like matches at Wembley, we've seen significant broad-based growth among most expressions of church, particularly in Roman Catholic and Pentecostalism. There are now 2 million more people attending church than there was 6 years ago. Isn't that encouraging? We need to look out and see where God is at work, because we can quite easily be pulled down by all the other stuff. Because when we look out and we see where God is at work, then it encourages us and it lifts us and it fuels us and it pushes us on, doesn't it? And then we need to look out for opportunities to be and to share Jesus. In many ways, that's what the Thy Kingdom Come initiative, if you didn't come last week, we launched it again. There's some booklets on the path, on the way out if you didn't take one. This idea that we pray for people who are non-Christians. Pray for those that don't know Jesus. Or even pray for the prodigals that once did and have wandered away. Because we need to look for those opportunities to be Jesus and to share Jesus in the world. And last week we looked at a video of a woman whose friend became a Christian and she wasn't. But eventually she became a Christian, this woman. Why? Because her friend was praying for her. Why? Because her friend was showing her Jesus in her lifestyle. Why? Because her friend shared the good news of Jesus with her. And she found faith herself. We need to look for those opportunities as we look out onto the world to share Jesus and to be Jesus in the world in which we live in today. For some of us, that's the challenge today. So which one for you? Is it about looking for Jesus? Are you looking? Are you seeking? Are you trying to discover whether Jesus is real for you? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yes, we need to say sorry. Yes, we need to believe in God. And yes, we need to take a step of faith towards him. But I believe that as we do, we will find him. For some of us here today, it's about looking up. It's about looking to Jesus. It's about fixing our eyes on Jesus again. Especially when the world is pushing us down and we're tempted to look down. What is going on? Woe is me. Look up. Look up, child. See me again. For some of us, we'd need to be encouraged to look out. To look upon the world in which we live in today through the lens of our faith. We need to look out and see where God and Jesus is at work, and we need to look for opportunities to pray for people, to show the kingdom, and to share Jesus with those out there. Looking on this ascension day, when we think about the disciples just looking into the sky, then let us be encouraged to look for Jesus, to keep seeing him, to fix our eyes upon him, and encourages him to look into the world through him. Amen? Amen. We're going to sing and we're going to take communion as a response today. We're going to sing one of the songs we mentioned. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity even now just to respond to your word and the worship. To come forward and to take bread and to take this juice. Something that you encouraged, you did with your disciples before the cross. And then you encouraged them to go on from this place and to do it, to keep sharing in this meal as a remembrance of all that you've done for us. So we come forward today in different places in our lives, with different things going on around us, but actually every single one of us needs you. So may we just have that fresh encounter with you. As we take of your body, as we drink of your blood, as we recognize what you have done for us and what you continually want to do for us. Well, for many of us, again, we need to start with repentance. We need to say sorry. Maybe sorry for habits that we've got into. Maybe sorry for actions that we do or words that we've spoken. Maybe sorry for not even for taking our eyes off you. For looking at other things, for becoming victims rather than people who are living the victory of your cross. Lift us again. Lord, as we say sorry, but knowing that there's always welcome, there's always forgiveness. Restore us and refresh us, move in our lives again. Lift us to go out into this world again to be your people. As we come forward in response. In Jesus' name. Amen. We've done it many times before. Two stations.